I appreciate the worship team and how they've led and continue to lead. I like this new song too. God, Christ be with me in my waking, in my speaking, in my working, in every aspect of our lives. And that applies to this new year as we come into a new year. So as we go into a new year, this is a couple of days early, 2 days early, in fact. When we think of Happy New Year's, we think of the money, the friendship, the happiness, peace, satisfaction, unity through that. We anticipate a new year and all the things that are in it. And I want to say Happy New Year to you as well. But I wanted to share with you, these are the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2019. Somehow in our lives, and I was talking with Marie just before the service, that we make these resolutions, and sometimes resolutions are just one of those things you do. We think, I'd like to do that, but get a week or two into January, and they're all forgotten. But these are the top resolutions for 2019 about losing weight and dieting and being more healthy and quit smoking and read more and those sorts of things. So things you would expect to have on a New Year's resolution list. But I want to suggest one more. And I didn't realize it was that small. It's bigger on my computer. So what I'd like to suggest to you is a closer walk with God. So it would apply to all the other things about losing weight and making more money and all the things on the other one, but a closer walk with God, which would mean something more peace of mind, and less stress. That's something that I know for myself and many of us, more peace of mind, less stress. A closer walk with God would mean more faith and less fear. It would mean more hope and less despair, more Bible reading, more reflection and worship, more prayer. Just spending that time, a few moments a day, whatever it takes for you to get in that mood, that walk with God. For me, I try to spend it in the morning. I get up earlier and spend some time reading the Bible. And right now I'm reading through the book of Psalms. And that leads me to what I wanted to share with you in this message. So suggest New Year's resolution, walking closer to God. But the phrase that I've noticed in Psalms, but as for me. But as for me is a phrase that shows up 7 times in Scripture. And it really depends on which translation of Scripture you use. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. But 7 different times the phrase, but as for me. The phrase is optional when you say, but as for me. It is an optional phrase when you see something happening, but as for me, something else. So it's used to introduce something contrasting what has already been mentioned. So as I read through the Psalms, the 7 times, we're going to look at those 7 times it shows up. But as I look at those, I see that it is an option that the psalmist and the others, all 7 of them are using. They're seeing something before and having that option, but as for me, then this, making a distinction. So something that is contrasting with what has already been mentioned. It's also personal. But as for me, it's something that I've decided, something that is not, well, you know, you guys want to do that, but it's something for me. It's a personal decision, but as for me. Seeing the contrast of before and the after. So the optional, but also the personal. But as for me, these things. And then the third part of that, it's decisional. Deciding to make a change. And that's where in the New Year's resolutions, but as for me, making these changes, and it would last more than a week perhaps, hopefully, making that decision, optional, the contrast, personal, and decisional. So as we look at the book of Psalms, it shows up 4 times in Psalms, twice in Psalm 69. So as I look at Psalm 69, you see the psalmist that is, he's struggling. He has a distress, a definite need, a dire need, and he's crying out to God. In Psalm, the first verse, save me, O God, for the water has risen to my neck. I've sunk in deep mud. There's no footing. I have come to deep water. A flood sweeps over me. I'm weary from my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. So here you have the psalmist in the pits of despair, in the difficulties of life, and all these things are happening to him. But he comes to that point in verse 13, but as for me, all these things are happening. Some people are calling him foolish, the things are going on in his life. All those first 12 verses are going on. But the psalmist comes to the point, but as for me. But as for me, Lord, my prayer to you is for a time of favor. In your abundant, faithful love, God, answer me with your sure salvation. So all the struggles and the difficulties and the pit of despair he was in, the water over his head, deep in the mud and mire and muck of the day, all that stuff going on, and the psalmist recognizes the contrast, but as for me, my prayer to you is for a time of favor, trusting God to be at work, seeking God's divine intervention, in spite of all the things that are going on, seeking God's intervention in his life. And he pleads for God's compassion in verse 16 of Psalm 69. Answer me, Lord, for your faithful love is good. In keeping with your abundant compassion, turn to me. Don't hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly. So pleading for God's compassion, and he comes to verse 29, and he says, but as for me, poor and in pain, let your salvation protect me, Lord. All this stuff that's going on, his cry for God's intervention, God's mercy, praising for God's compassion, and he could say, but as for me, and even though poor and in pain, I want to trust God, let your salvation protect me. So the challenge for me as I read that in New Year's resolution type thing is no matter what's going on in my life, my daily walk, whatever's happening, when you turn the calendar into 2020 and stuff begins to happen, you have that thought, but as for me, I will trust you. But as for me, I will follow you. And as the psalmist said, as for me, poor and in pain, whatever it is, let your salvation protect me, God. Also in Psalm chapter 73, there's the psalmist two different times says, but as for me. In Psalm 73, the very first verse, David writes, God is indeed good to Israel, to the pure in heart. He recognizes the goodness of God. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly went astray. You see the contrast. God is good and provides and does all those things. But as for me, man, I'm in tough shape. My feet are slipping. My steps nearly go astray. All this stuff's going on. But God is so good. But as for me, in recognizing where he was, he envied the prosperity of the wicked in the following verses. He saw the defiance of the ungodly. He recognized the justice of God and all those different things. And then he could say in verse 28, but as for me, God's goodness is good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, so I can tell about all you do. So he saw God's goodness and gives testimony to others. So all that stuff that's going on, God's goodness, his badness, and all the stuff that's going on in between, but as for me, God's presence is good. I screw up things in my life, things happen, things that don't go as I plan, but as for me, God's goodness is good. I have made God my refuge so I can tell about all that he does. Gives us that opportunity for witness. And again for us, as we go through this new year, to recognize God's goodness is good and recognize that we fail, we slip, we have things happen. We look around us and see all the stuff that's going on. We envy those that live an easier life or have more material things. But then recognizing, but as for me, God's presence is good. Then in Jonah chapter 2, you know the story of Jonah and how he was running from the Lord. God had challenged him to go to preach. Jonah didn't want to. And he responded by running away, got on the ship. You know the story. The waves came up, and in their distress, the sailors, Jonah acknowledged, I'm running from God. They threw him overboard, swallowed by a large fish. While he was in the belly of the fish, he came to his senses and prayed from the belly of the whale. And he recognized the value of loving God. And he would say in his prayer inside the fish, those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So the contrast that he had running from God, he didn't like the people God was sending him to. He didn't want to preach the word. He didn't want to do those things. He went the opposite direction. God got his attention. And while he's in the belly of the fish, he recognized the contrast. But as for me, some people, they cherish worthless idols. They abandon their faithful love. They don't recognize God. But in my distress, in the depths of the, he didn't know where he was, his inside the belly of the fish. But I mean, as far as how deep in the water he was, but just recognizing, but as for me, I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So the Jonah just acknowledging that contrast, but as for me, perhaps the most familiar, Okay. Could you go down to the next one? It should be Joshua. There it is. So the most familiar phrasing of that is for Joshua in Joshua 24. In that 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, he is reminding the people of Israel's history, how God had brought them from Abraham, how God had chosen Abraham, how Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the fathers, the people of Israel were busy settling the promised land. And as he was reminding them of the history, and reminding God's faithfulness through it all. So all of the stuff that they saw, all that happened and where they had gone and how they were now beginning to go into the promised land and in the covenant of renewal. And Joshua could say, if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today which you will worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. So the challenge that he was making, reminding them how God had worked, how God had provided, how God had led, how God had done all those things over the years from Abraham now to the very time that Moses had just died and Joshua was living, leading, and how he was reminded of God's goodness to them. He said that you have a choice to make. Now you can choose the gods of the Amorites where you're at. You can choose these gods you see before you. But as for me, making that statement as for me and my family, it is decisional, it is personal, it was optional. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And then the last one is in the book of Galatians. Okay. Now, Miriam, can you back me up to Galatians? About three slides back, maybe. There. So the Apostle Paul, in writing the letter to the Galatians, the challenge that the church in Galatia had was they saw a mixed gospel. The gospel was a little bit different than what Paul had preached. And he was challenging them, there is no other gospel. The gospel that you have heard of me, that is the word of God. That's the gospel. We are justified by faith, not by works. It is not what we do that pleases God, but our trust in Him, and as we respond to what God has done. We are justified by faith, not by works. In chapter 4 of Galatians, he says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of a woman, and that's a Christmas story we've heard. So all these things happen, and then he challenged them to carry one another's burden. But in verse 14, chapter 6, but as for me, he came to that decisional point, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. Coming to that point in his life, regardless of how the church of Galatia responded, he said, there's no other gospel. You're saved by faith, not by works. All those things. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to that point in his life where he could make that statement, but as for me, this is where I stand. This is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to do. So the challenge before us then, three things. One more, Miriam. Is reaction. So how do you react to a statement, but as for me? In this new year, come to the point, but as for me. It is an optional statement. So your reaction to the things that happen, no matter what goes on in life, the ups and the downs, the struggles, the difficulties, the pain, the heartache, the joy, all those things that happen, your reaction is important. This statement, but as for me, challenges our reaction. So you're facing whatever you're facing in life, and for you to be able to say, but as for me, I will do these things. I will follow God. I will trust God. I will allow God to work in my life. I will allow God to teach me and help me to grow and develop through this. So it's a reaction to what is happening in life, but as for me. The next one is also a resolve, making that decision. It is something that I need to decide to do. It is optional, but it is personal. The resolve that I'm going to make that change. So not looking for other people to make the change. I want this whole church family to change. The resolve is, as for me personally, as for me and my family, as for me and whatever, but it's a personal reaction, resolve to what God is doing in our lives. And then the last one is that attitude. To have that attitude to trust God no matter what is going on, and it's decisional. So to have the reaction, the resolve, and the attitude, but as for me, this is how it's going to change. Seeing that distinction, that things are going on, what needs to happen, but as for me, I'm going to follow God. What I'd like to do is close with a prayer for a new year. And this is another written prayer, written by Billy Graham for the Saturday Evening Post in 2008. And I thought, now this is 11 years ago, and there's a lot of stuff that's happened in 11 years. But if you listen to this prayer as we pray together, it is just as meaningful today as it was almost 12 years ago. So we'll close the service with this prayer, and then the worship team will come and lead us. Our Father and our God, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we confess our need for your presence and your guidance as we face the future. We each have our hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead of us. But you alone know what it holds for us, and only you can give us the strength and wisdom we will need to meet its challenges. So help us to humbly put our hand into your hand, and to trust you, and to seek your will for our lives during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of the certainty of your unchanging love. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and comfort we need. In the midst of life's temptations and the pull of our stubborn self-will, help us not to lose our way, but to have the courage to do what is right in your sight, regardless of the cost. And in the midst of our daily preoccupations and pursuits, open our eyes to the sorrows and injustices of our hurting world, and help us to respond with a compassion and sacrifice to those who are friendless and in need. May our constant prayer be that of the ancient psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end." We pray for our nation and its leaders during these difficult times, and for all those who are seeking to bring peace and justice to our dangerous and troubled world. We pray especially for your protection on all those who serve in our armed forces, and we thank you for their commitment to defend our freedoms, even at the cost of their own lives. Be with their families also, and assure them of your love and concern for them. Bring our divided nation together, and give us a greater vision of what you would have us to be. Your word reminds us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As we look back over this past year, we thank you for your goodness to us, far beyond what we have deserved. May we never presume on your past goodness or forget all your mercies to us, but may they instead lead us to repentance and to a new commitment to make you the foundation and center of our lives this year. And so, our Father, we thank you for the promise and hope of this new year, and we look forward to it with expectancy and faith. This I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, who by his death and resurrection has given us hope both for this world and the world to come. Amen. So I would challenge you, as the worship team comes, to consider putting this as a part of your New Year's resolution at the end of 2019, beginning 2020, the challenging phrase, "But as for me."